This week I tried to not commit myself too early on to visuals and just wanted to see what God was saying first. And so put the bits together this morning, which is the usual disaster. So I think I'm probably using five pieces of software on the way through, and have had to go back to the beginning again. But there's just in terms of updates and comments on what's going on, really appreciated the worship this morning. I think that song, Like Jesus, is going to be a real stayer. And although in his notes Rolf said he thought the initial song was one that we might not sing again, I would invite him to think again about that, and I think there are other people who would do so. I thought there was a lot of mileage in there. You know why he doesn't want to sing it again? It's because music leaders have got this compulsion to introduce a new song every week, because they spend, as you can tell, an awful lot of their time playing and practicing and waiting on it. We can't necessarily keep up with them, but if you want to, both those songs I think were from Not Guilty Anymore, were they? Yeah, from Aaron Key's latest album. And you can spend money on magazines, on papers, on odds and ends, chocolate during the week. You'll get more encouragement from downloading just those one or two tracks. From
we'll be doing another one from the album for Easter.
Okay, well, yeah, let's do stir those other songs up that are they're very, very singable, very folky songs, sort of very easy to pick up. And he's got Aaron Keyes has got a site which is mainly a merchandising site, but it's worth having a look at, because if you want to pick the words up, and usually of course you can actually hear all the words on the recording, but so Aaron Keyes, two A's in Aaron, an extra E on the end of Keyes, to do that. I wanted to
Sorry, he was around last year. Oh no, when we did the
did
East
he do Soul Conference, Survivor?
We did the East
yeah.
Conference.
Oh right,
And he did. He was going around to churches, and we will try and catch him next time around.
Right. I also wanted to say a thank you to the kids work team, and particularly Chiquita, who's carrying a lot of administration. These guys put together a session with Becky somebody or other, who was his surname was, and it was about godly play, about the use of play, and these guys put a lot of work into their stuff. And I was just looking at the notes that Chiquita had made of you know, we would like to get different materials, and I can tell you as a one-time publisher why there aren't different materials out there. The primary reason is that God's people do not like paying for things. And so what they want, what people want, is something that costs nothing and requires no work to bring it into existence. And the only way we would be able to get different material, really, we think at the moment, is either to write them ourselves, which would require a massive, massive investment, or to buy them in from the States. And apart from the very high cost of the US material with the import stuff, the culture clashes are not insignificant, particularly in the childhood area. But that was appreciation to the kids workers and to Chiquita. I had a chance to have lunch with Simon Townsend this week. He was back for his one meeting. Some of you, I think, from looking at Facebook, which I did in rather a hurry yesterday, it was a bit ambiguous as to whether they were coming back permanently. They're not. God has answered prayer, and he's ended up with the one squadron that's going to be left of Gurkhas. He was explaining to me, it's not so much that they're getting rid of Gurkhas, but you remember with all that fuss around Joanna Lumley when they gave them an extended period of service, they've gone from 15 to 22 years service. So it's like having 50% more people, and so they're having to contract that. But Simon and Anna very much feel part of Dayspring wherever they're based. They're hoping that in May they'll get a chance to don't tell anybody this, because otherwise they won't be able to tweet it and Facebook it as news when they want to, but they're hoping to be able to take their holiday and go back to Nepal. And the idea is that that Anna will go out for a week first to do her charity stuff, then Simon and the kids will go out and they'll do a family trek with grandparents and all, and then Simon will stay on to do his duty trek. And if you saw Michael Palin, one of his broadcasts, he actually showed the army doing the recruitment out there. So, and of course, because Simon really joined the army so that he could do outdoor pursuits and sports all the time. That's so he didn't have to grow up, basically. That is the sort of stuff that he really does enjoy and be out there. At the moment, he's doing a job which is really run out. There isn't much to do at the moment. He can't wait to get on with what he's doing. He's moving to Aldershot, and so they're going to be based there. But we hope we'll be able to set up a pattern of them visiting us more frequently, so we can keep praying for them. And it's so much easier to pray for people when you can see their faces. Talking of prayer, this week I had one of those fantastic experiences where you're talking to somebody, and somebody said to me, "Look, Dave, if you want to particularly pray into some of these issues, I want you to know that I'm ready to pray with you." That really doesn't happen very often, and that's a great encouragement when it does. And I've been really enjoying that subsequently. For myself, I'd be grateful for your prayer this week. On Friday, my mum is going to have a hip operation. She's 85, and I know people still have hip operations at 100 or 101, but my mum's never spent a night in hospital in all her time. I'm going to be spending at least a couple of nights with my dad, who is pretty immobile because of arthritis these days, and he's really suffered from it, because until a year or two ago he was spending all his days going to visit people and getting a chance to pray with them and so on, and has felt really the pressure of being shut in. And last Thursday they had a hole cut out of their back room to put a lift in, which goes in on Tuesday, so he'll be able to get up and down there, because he's not actually flexible enough to use a stair lift. And I'm going to be there with them Thursday night, Friday night, hopefully not Saturday night, because I want to be back for a cafe. My dad's going to find it hard as well for my mum to be in. I sort of had thought I would be able to get on with my work while I was down there, but my brother called me to say we really need to decorate this back room, because the lift should go in on Tuesday, and I'm going to try and rig it up so that we've got some music with it, so that we can play "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending" as my comes downstairs. There'll be quite a lot of chiacking about that, I should imagine, as it goes. But do pray. I've watched Andy go through some really tough times over the last year with his parents, and of course it ended up with his dad actually dying. Now, my parents are not unwell in that sort of way, but as you realise your family's mortality, it does have an impact on you. And I'm finding it much, I've found it over the years much easier to advise other people on these sort of things than to go through it myself. I did anticipate that, but it always catches you by surprise as you get that stuff. Now, we're back with our current agenda. We're working on this. Probably we'll do something more on that next week. And then I want to spend a few weeks in and out of March looking at some aspects of community, particularly what makes the church different from any other community. And it's basically that church is about getting to love people who you would naturally not spend time with and who are not like you. So we're going to be really looking at that, and that's one of the strong currents. The church is not about being your kind of people, it's about being involved with God's kind of people, and of course it will take us back to the stuff about the kingdom of God, and what God's upside down kingdom is really like. But finding out what God is doing and joining in. Have you been getting on? Has anybody been having a go at specifically finding out what God's doing? And has it been a complete and dismal failure, or have you seen any success in that? I'm realising that I'm sharpening this up quite suddenly now, but you know, the Dayspring Sundays are for people who want to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of their life. And if we don't actually get to where the rubber meets the road, then it's all theory, it's all sweetness and light, and we talk on Sundays and we go away, and then we come back the next Sunday and say the same things all over again. So I want to really start to drive down to the points where the rubber meets the road here, and it'd be really interesting to know if anybody has been having a go at that. Yeah, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, I will share it in the other meeting, because I just thought it's just, for me, it's been a really interesting, and that picture just so much captivates kind of what God's done in my life. But one of the things that Tim's church is doing, my son, is their theme is never walk alone, and it's about the journey. So, and what he's crafted is a Bible reading a day, and then a journal. That, and then he's asking people to kind of keep that journal to go along. So obviously we got these for Christmas presents, and along with a book on "I Am Your Father" by Mark Stibbe, and the whole thing about the relationship between father and son has been very, very impactful for me, especially in writing about that. So for me to write about God as Father, as Daddy, as Papa, or as it's just a new experience for me, because I'm really good with the Lord and the King stuff, you know, and even Jesus my brother and my Savior, you know, that's fine. But talking about God the Father has been quite a impactful thing for me. Yeah. Even where I am now, just that whole sense it's not necessarily about the destination or even the purpose, but it's about the relationship. It's about doing it together. Yeah,
it's all about relationship.
And yeah. and that's just there's just been some new real very impactful, powerful feelings about that for me. Talking to my daddy every day, and my daddy is with me, and I can crawl up on his lap.
It's great. Anybody else have been having a go? What's it like where the rubber meets the road? Or do you, like me, sometimes find at the end of the day that, I forgot all about that all day long, even when preparing the talk on it. Back to Dane, actually.
Following up from last Sunday, I've had a little bit of a revelation. I've been feeling quite despondent at work. I'm not enjoying it. I wasn't enjoying it. And this week, I had to kind of go back to my roots, going into teaching, and actually realizing it again and remembering that God placed me there, yeah. And God's got a reason for me to be there. And if I'm not giving my all to what I'm doing, to what God has asked me to do, then in some respects I'm dishonouring Him.
Yeah.
And it hurt a little bit to realise that. But it was also quite an encouragement. Actually, God wants me again. So I've now got a permanent post-it, one of those virtual post-its on my desktop. It says, A, Jesus loves me, and 2, Jesus placed me here. Whenever I log in the morning, Jesus placed me here.
Yeah. I'm sure others of you can identify with that. You see, if you find yourself in a situation where God's doing nothing, then you probably shouldn't be there. Okay, after you've had a go at discerning that, you need to change your job if God's doing nothing. And I suspect that because God is God, He's doing something most everywhere. Sue.
Yeah, I think
make Sue the last one, because we've got lots to talk about this morning.
I meet quite a lot of mums at school gate, especially my mum. One particular one came around for coffee, and I can't go into too many details, I won't go into too many details, but it was exhilarating, because she, I've never heard conversations like this before, she just kept asking questions, and being in that pair together, and if I had to pick somebody out, it would never have been her in 2 million years.
So you ended up with her asking questions, you ended up praying with her. And that was this week?
That was a week ago on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we've had many text exchanges since about what we've talked about.
That's great. That is really impressive, isn't it? That those things, if we don't find chance to tell one another about what God is doing and how we're joining in, then we lose the opportunity of being encouraged. And hey, you know, that's where it needs to be happening, not in here, but out there. The chance to pray for people who have possibly never had that experience at any time in their lives, and who knows what the next step is. You remember last week Dane was saying about how when he spends time with people, he accepts the fact that he may not be the person who takes them to the next stage. Joining in with what God's doing is a great help to, because it's not our success, you know. It's not the little kid who's going to present the completed garden as a result of their work. It's going to be the adult, but the child has had the joy of joining in there. Next slide. I hope, whether you can read that or not, it's a long reading. I was going to show this to you today. I'd got Wendy's iPad, which will mirror on this thing, lined up, because I'm really quite impressed with the app for the NIV Study Bible, but I didn't do it because the type would have come out of that size, so why I've got that up there I don't know. So listen while I read, if you can. When the time, this is Jesus presented in the temple, and God showed me some stuff out of this, I feel, just a few days ago, when it was actually the presentation of Jesus, the day that's observed in the church year, which is 40 days, because that was the time for Mary's purification after the temple, after the birth of the child, she had to go through special washing and all that sort of stuff, which would have been pretty much of a routine for her, as it was for any woman in that particular environment. When the time came for the purification, start of verse before. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the land, in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So there are two episodes there of charismatic engagement in what God was doing, okay? Finding out what God was doing and joining in. Now, what I want to do, if you'll talk among yourselves while I press a few buttons, it might not take that long, is to actually get back to the DVD and to show you a clip from the Zeffirelli Jesus of Nazareth from 1977. It's a film that subsequently I was quite involved with a lot in terms of using the stills for schools work. If we can watch, I'd like you to watch this closely with that reading in mind. Okay, you've listened to the reading about what happened, and the question for you is really how well have they done in the film in telling the story? And I'll get you to talk to one another a bit about it afterwards. Let's get this up to full size, which we can do like this, I assume. Okay, I think they deserve a lot of cheers for actually getting a small baby. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many films I watch where you think, that's not a newborn baby, but at least that one was very small, wasn't it? You actually wonder how quickly they must have done the filming of that section to make it work. Let's come back to the get out here and now. And play. And here's a question: how close is the film to what you think happened? Have a talk to one another, and we get some feedback. We need to do it for enough time, I guess. Let's get some feedback on matters of fact. First of all, how well do you think they got it? They left Anna out completely. That was at the end. Yeah. This, of course, one of the problems with trying to actually scan the Zeffirelli film is that it's mostly based on the Gospel of John, as far as we were able to discern, with bits chucked in from other places. So it is quite difficult. What else? So that was one of the facts.
It was the 8 days. Circumcision, yeah. The 40 days for the consecration.
Okay, 32 days, yeah. So they conflated the two events, because circumcision would have taken place locally, probably in the home, with people coming in to do that. Anything else in terms of the factual things? Yeah, the sacrifice. I did have another Mormon clip, which did the whole thing. And you got the sacrifice as well, but what you had was it kept on switching back like gunfight at the OK Corral between the couple and the baby walking into empty temple courts, and a Simeon at the other end, you know, sort of both seeing one another, I see you, do you see me, and gradually coming towards one another. But it gave another angle on that. Anything else on the facts?
She was a little bit too close.
Yeah.
Been allowed that close into the
yeah. That's right. But there were some things that I liked about, you know, you think of the temple as being really pristine and clean and sharp. I was interested, I think they're probably wrong, but the idea of having the mats down, because Herod actually was a big builder guy. he was heavily into smart buildings and places. He'd have probably won architects' awards and things, and I don't think he would have allowed the place to be messy like that. But I thought it was interesting, the separation between the male and female. So even little boys could become sons of the law. They, by the time they were 12, they were on the inside, and they were as disdainful of women as they would have been, you know, as their elders would have been. I can remember we reflected on this when Wendy was teaching in East London and had quite a lot of Sikh boys in her class who really couldn't be bothered with being taught by a woman. They really, really, really needed to be stamped on very hard, because, you know, why should I listen to what you're saying? You're a woman. It doesn't count. It was particularly within that that religious grouping that she found that. What about the tone? Do you think they get the tone right? What do you think, it happened like that?
My theology has always been that that Simeon was the one that actually did the kind of the consecration there. So the fact that he actually came from the outside, that's probably more theologically correct.
Anything else about the tone of it? I was interested in the way in which he did come in from the outside, and these presumably they would have been Sadducees, there would have been the priestly people there, because there were loads of priests. You've got to remember that that something like 8% of the population were born to be priests, and another 8% were born to be temple workers. So you'd got 16% of the male population who were devoted to that kind of work. And, you know, you probably couldn't move for priests and Levites in that sort of space. And, well, you think of the fact that they had different cycles and routines. Now, it is possible, of course, that Simeon was a member of the priestly caste. But, hey, that's not the important thing here. Just have a look at the text. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, here's the thing. Last time I talked about this, we talked about Paul and his journey to Troas and all the things that went wrong. So it's a pretty macro view. Here we've got a micro view that centres on somebody finding out what God is doing and joining in the very, very limited, narrow, specific. And I guess we have both of those experiences. How do we interpret the hurly-burly of life? Things going right, things going wrong. How do we get ourselves in line for those experiences like Sue was describing, which I would suggest is much more like this. This is really where the rubber meets the road. And I wanted to reflect on four things here. Apart from the fact that he was righteous and devout, here was the first thing. He was waiting. This was a priority. Now, I will go on and on about this focus for 2012, because we believe that God's given it to us, right? And what I want to try and do is to help all of us to get to the point where finding out what God is doing becomes a priority in our lives. If it becomes a priority, we're at first base. If it doesn't become a priority, if it's something where we're saying, oh, I haven't thought about that for a couple of weeks, then, you know, sort of it's not going to happen. It's got to get to the point where it begins to eat us. God, what are you doing in your world? How can I line up with it? And in that way, we will move from people who are practical atheists to people who live with God and see what he's doing. So the first thing is he was waiting for him. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. I've had a great time meditating in that phrase. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit Yeah, we'll come to that in just a sec. And then the third thing was, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. That's why we think he was an older bloke. You know, if you go to Evensong in an Anglican church, you actually do this bit, don't you? It's called the Nunc Dimittis, which is not about having a rather dim relative. It's sort of built into, Lord, you know, I've seen what you've got for me. I'm ready to go. Fantastic position to be in, to have had the prophecies over your life fulfilled. Now, last time, Paul had his revelation through a dream. We don't know how Simeon got revelation here. And then, here's the other thing, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Okay, so we've done the deconstruction, done the theological side, now let's do the practical reflection here, and where are we? Okay, here's the first question I've got. Talk about this to one another, and some of you will have stories to tell about this, and others of you won't. What is it like for the Holy Spirit to be on you? What's it like for the Holy Spirit to be on you? You had an experience like that. Okay, let me ask you this, because I want to press through to some conclusion. What were the common strands in what you said to one another? Did you use the same sort of words? How did you describe the Holy Spirit being on you? What were the commonalities there? How were you aware of the Holy Spirit being on you? What was there evidence? Or were you told by somebody else? Did you know from? I see that hand. I'll come to you in a moment. So I just get stir up some other places. Were there common strands in what you said and saw?
I think there is like a nanosecond delay. It's not while something or people face things are happening, you know, as soon as you're aware. I think it's just a minute. That makes sense. Just a split second.
So you reflect on an event where the Holy Spirit's been on you. Okay. And that's an interesting observation, isn't it? That it's in reflection. What you got?
I found sometimes I'm thinking about things like a Bible passage, a character thought that comes through can only be from those.
Yeah. So there is the evidence, the results, so you get an insight, a revelation is there.
Knew, or with me, all of a sudden,
Following on from that, we were saying that sometimes it depends, because sometimes the Spirit sort of ministers to you, and sometimes He gives you a kick up the backside. Yeah. And sometimes the feelings you can get can be because sort of physical sensations, because you're resisting what the Spirit wants to do, and when you stop resisting, go away sometimes.
Because the experience of... sorry, Sue, what are you going to bring in?
No, it was just the reflection back from the film, that it looked like another day at the temple, you know, there's another one to serve
as okay.
That was sometimes our experience, it was just an ordinary old day, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah.
Well,
let's have a look at that in just a moment, because I think that's quite an important point. I feel as though it's important to say, and sometimes, you know, I find this really off-putting when speakers say something like this, but there are times when the Holy Spirit being on you, and the reason, of course, that phrase occurs, is the sense of being on is either being clothed or a weight coming on. And of course, I've been praying about our response to this all week. I've been, you know, it's been a constant theme in the time. And here I am, and I'm just aware of the Holy Spirit being on me as a weight at this time. And so there is that, which is you give yourself to it, as you give yourself to waiting on the Spirit, then you'll hear people talk about the fact that it's as though the air had got thick, you know. And when the Holy Spirit comes, his presence is real, it's palpable, it's touchable, you know. And I know that there are many of us in the meeting this morning who can point back to times like that. But here we've got a guy who lived in that sort of way, and which leads on to our second question. What is it like, and some of you have been answering that, and this is what Sue was addressing, what is it like for the Spirit to be on you while doing life? Because he came into the temple later on. Yeah, Pete.
The only way I could describe it is awesome. Nothing is normal. Nothing. Every time you speak, when God touches us in that way, everything you say, everything you do has a result. An immediate result. There's not a delay. The power comes down through you, out you. And at the end of it, for me personally, it was like being totally drained.
Yeah.
I did not give anymore. It was like you are sustained at super fast, super high tension. Everything God is telling you comes straight through your brain, out your mouth, out your fingers, out your hands, everything. And at the end of it, it's like you're being switched off. And you just sort of go, and you stop. And then the Holy Spirit has to recharge you so you can function normally.
So that's certainly, you've heard that sort of story. But then here is where the issue is: where does the rubber meet the road? Because if the plan is for the Spirit to be on us continuously, how does that work out when you're working at a keyboard or you're in a meeting with clients? You know, the Spirit is on you. Yeah. My experience of this is that I'm sure that if it was, of course, it's unless we can move towards the 24/7, yeah, you actually wonder whether this is about being religious. You know, if it comes in phases, then it goes and comes. The Holy Spirit was on you, and shall be in you. And while there are times when we come back and pray, and we ask God to move in our lives, that consciousness, and guys, I often say this, but this seems to me to be absolutely critical in the day by day looking after our children and working with them and spending time and asking God about them. And of course we get these high points when somebody's sick and we pray, and then contrary to our expectation they're healed, you know, and because we live in the now and not yet kingdom, we are subject to that sort of thing. But that seems to me to be where we're moving. Dane, you want to come back?
Yeah, I was wondering if it could be a little bit like there's a channel where you've got that North Coast screen and it says all programs will resume at certain such time. And it's being constantly tuned into that channel, only it doesn't say what time it's going to come back.
Yeah.
Just from time to time, there's a program on. And you're tuned into that. So living a life.
Yeah.
You've constantly got the screen there, so whatever you're doing, time to time, you get interrupted by the program. And then the screen's North Coast one.
My assumption is, of course, that there should be something about the quality of the work we do if we're tuned in.
Yeah.
And of course you were talking about that, and first of all comes prioritising it, you know, that was the thing, he was waiting for that, he was ready for it, that will enable us to live at that sort of level. So we're discerning what God's doing in the world. And it's not just about praying for the sick, sure it's about that. It's probably about picking up litter, because God's doing stuff about protecting it. And if you see it's his world, then we respond to it as being his world. If You know, if we're with people who need a smile and need encouragement, we're seeing what God's doing, and we want to do that. What was the other question? I think I've got another one. What is it like to be moved by the Spirit? Now, here is a guy who wasn't in the temple, and that was the thing that annoyed me most. I would have far preferred him to have been in bed, or cooking his lunch, or even going to the shops, when suddenly he was stirred, not by hearing the baby's cry, but he was just moved by the Spirit. Now, all of you will know times when you're, well, most of you will know times, perhaps some of you think, those of us who have felt this way are daft, but where you've actually found yourself thinking, well, I'm going to do this today, I'll go this particular way. And of course, there are those wonderful times when it all makes sense afterwards. And there are those times as well where you think, what was all that about? Because basically we're only learners, aren't we, and we get in there. But there are the times when you think, wow, God, what a connection. Fantastic, I'm here and I spoke to somebody. And have you ever had that sort of time where you've found yourself in a position where you've said, well, Lord, I really want you to lead me today, and you've been led, you've been wondering about it, and then you've got so preoccupied with something else that it's only afterwards you think, ah, I missed that. You know, I had that chance to speak to that person. There was the possibility of engaging with it. And of course, we learn from our experiences here. And I think part of the problem, of course, is that where the way in which the Holy Spirit stuff has been packaged has been, it's all been all or nothing and all drama all the time. And it's never focused on the now and not yet. And of course, this is where we want to be as Day Spring. We want to be ready to say, ask you questions. It doesn't matter where you are. If the formula's not working, you're probably being honest. If it's working all the time, then I wonder why you're still here and haven't been, sort of raptured already, leaving the rest of us behind because you only make us feel guilty. But it's a process, what's going on. But let's pray for a minute or two, because I want to take us forward and just want to remind you that we have said that the opportunity is with this room to stay here afterwards if you want to pray. But I'm going to pray now and just going to